The devil made me do it. Remember that saying? Remember who made it famous? Flip Wilson. Maybe you don't remember, but he did that character, Geraldine. He dressed up and he did little spoofs on his show and others. And doing something wrong, he would end with saying, "The devil made me do it." It's fascinating to me to think about that phrase because, you know, it's just a little pithy little statement. But it's amazing to me anyway how it really has stuck. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that statement, I think part of the reason is because I think there's something in our human nature that kind of likes it. You know, it's not my fault. The devil did make me do it. As we think about temptation today and why we do the things we do sometimes, it makes me think about the sixth petition to the Lord's Prayer, which we will say later. Lead us not into temptation. And if you remember your small catechism, what does this mean? For the sixth petition says these words: God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. I'm sure it's no news to you, and we do talk about it occasionally, but we are under attack. Just like Jesus, we are under attack of the evil one, wanting to turn us away from God, wanting to take away our trust in the Lord, would ultimately the desire to take away our belief in the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. What are the temptations for you? Where do the attacks come from? And there are many in our world today. Think about the words from 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Pretty harsh words, but I think we can see it all around us in the world, can't we? Every day. And those same temptations tempt us as well. Battle us, get us to want to question the Lord and not trust Him. I think it's important for us as we consider this message today to not give the devil too much due. He can tempt, but he can't force us to do anything. He can bring pressure, but he cannot violate our will. The devil doesn't make us do anything, in fact. We can resist him. Is there any areas in your life that you're giving the devil a foothold? The devil can't make me do it. He can't. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We have God's power on our side. So specifically, let's consider how God can help us, how God does help us, As we look at the gospel from today, Luke chapter 4, and how Jesus resisted the devil. Now, Luke stresses the Spirit in his gospel and, of course, in Acts. And that's where Pentecost account comes from. The whole book of Acts is really the works of the Holy Spirit. Luke stresses the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus overcame the devil's attacks. He was able to recognize and then battle them off by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus succeeded in the wilderness when Israel did not. In fact, Jesus is true Israel. And so we look at these temptations. Luke records the same three temptations that Matthew does, both in chapter 4 of each book. However, Luke reverses the second and third temptations. We don't know exactly why, but assuming or apparently to emphasize Jesus' victory in Jerusalem. You know, Luke works with Jerusalem, moving to Jerusalem, and then he talks in Acts about how God's word and how his power in church will grow from Jerusalem and on and so forth. So apparently that's why he emphasized that and switched those two temptations. But in both books, they're attempts to get Jesus to abandon his trust in his heavenly Father. And the same attacks that we get are attempts to do the same. Get us to question and doubt the Lord. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So what can we learn from Jesus in his 40 days in the wilderness? Well, the first temptation, he had gone 40 days without eating, and the text says he was hungry. He was very hungry. No kidding. Can you imagine? Who wouldn't be? Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? It's been 40 days. He didn't eat the entire time. But again, referring to like the time of Israel in the desert, when they were told to trust the Lord your God. But Jesus does it right. No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. The devil attempted to attack him. He did attack him, where he was vulnerable. He was clearly hungry. Where in your life are you vulnerable? Where does the devil try to attack you and get you to just question? It begins with a question, a little bit of doubt. Reminds me of Genesis 3, which I refer to often. Did God really say? That's where it starts. The attack. Did God really say? We need to fight that attack off. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So right there, let's start there. Where do you need to turn back and trust? Remember, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the second temptation, the devil takes Jesus on the mountain, wants to tempt him to exalt himself, the power that he offers him. I will give you if you will just worship me. He didn't fall for it, thankfully. Fear the Lord and trust and serve Him only, Jesus said. Now it's interesting that Satan has the overwhelming greed for power. Wants all people to worship him and to turn away from the Lord. And the very one who has all the power and glory, Jesus, willingly gave it up. He gave it all up to break the power, the evil power and the power of death. What areas of your life do you need to turn over to the Lord? Give Him complete power and authority. An area perhaps that you are questioning. Did you really say, God, you will walk with me? You will never leave me or forsake me? What areas is the devil attacking? Attacking you to give up your power, to give up power and turn it over to the Lord. Then finally, the Satan attempted Jesus to glorify himself. And he quotes scripture. Isn't that interesting? Psalm 91. The Lord will take care of you. He won't even let you stumble your foot on a stone. Jesus says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Which again refers back to Israel. Not trusting the Lord, putting him to the test in the wilderness. Jesus perfectly lived and did what they couldn't do. The same for us. How often do you, and I know I do, question and then say, God, if you only will do this or if you only will do that, then do not put the Lord your God to the test. Trust Him. We know that we fail. We know that we succumb to temptations. And what do we do about all this? The first thing we need to do is we need to repent. Take responsibility, first of all. The devil didn't make me do it. Confess your sin to the Lord. Confess those areas that we don't trust. Seek His help. He will give us the power. Satan fears our confession, our repentance and confession, because the battle's already been won on the cross. He fears us going to that cross for forgiveness because he has absolutely no power against that because the battle has already been won. We're also given kind of a winning strategy, if you will, in Luke 4 here by Jesus that we can use in temptation and in life and our walk with the Lord. And the first thing that we need to do is rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The very first verse says, Jesus, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he had just been baptized, was sent out to the wilderness. We too, baptized believers, have that same Holy Spirit to rely on. God will help us and empower us. That's the first thing. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The second thing is devote ourselves to prayer and fasting. We don't talk about fasting much. No, I don't. But maybe we do. Maybe we need to spend a time of fasting. And fasting might not be giving up food. It could be. But maybe it's giving up TV or our phone or what something else in our life and dedicating ourselves to a time of prayer and fasting, trusting in the Lord. That's the second thing. Devote yourself to prayer and fasting. Then the third thing, I don't know how often we do this, but just as Jesus did, say no to Satan. No! You won't get me to question the Lord. There's power in that. The same power that Jesus used. And then finally, quote the Word of God. This is alive and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Quote the Word of God. Rely on the power of the Spirit. Devote yourself to prayer and fasting. Say no to the devil. Quote the Word of God. And so we will close with quoting the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times, but it bears repeating often. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.